It is November 16th, 2012, and this is Brittany Schlein interviewing Miss Dorothy, also known as Dottie, Hudson at her home on Nelson Ave in Cooperstown, New York, for the Cooperstown Graduate Program's Research and Fieldwork course. Dorothy, do you mind just starting by telling us where and when you were born?
I was born January 16th, 1937, in Hackensack, New Jersey. And since I'm in Cooperstown, I have to say I used to keep New Jersey quiet. It's not a something you want to advertise in Cooperstown. But William Cooper came from New Jersey, so there you go.
And can you tell me a little bit about growing up in Hackensack?
I didn't really grow up in Hackensack. We were living at my grandmother's house, which is on Clinton Place, actually. And my mother's twin sister, Anna, was the nurse that delivered me. I have an older sister. And we lived there for 4 years. This was towards the end of the Depression. Mm-hmm. And then when my grandmother died, there was some money, and my parents got money enough to buy a house, which I lived in the rest of my childhood, in New Brunswick. So.
Oh, okay. And...
Yeah, Hackensack is just the beginning.
Well, then, would you like to tell me about growing up in New Brunswick a little?
Yeah, we got a house in a little housing development that was going to be much bigger, but it stopped at the war just in the 1940s, and that was the end of the development. It stayed sort of in midair until after the war. And so they were nice little houses out in this former farming area, typical. And we used to play in the foundations of the houses that were going to be built after the war. We used to play racing games around the foundations.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be frogs in one of them we used to play with. There was was nice to have a lot of open fields, and so this is East Brunswick, not New Brunswick.
Okay.
And it was a non-place at the time. Now it's got a real identity. People come from East Brunswick, which is strange to me. It's a real place, and it's very built up now. But at the time, it was sort of a peripheral place. A lot of people who had immigrated there. A lot of people from Eastern Europe. A lot of variety.
Mm-hmm.
The original people were Old Dutch and Old English, and down the road about a mile, easy to get to, was the old mill.
Uh-huh.
And the original family who were Dutch. A few interesting Dutch people around. And I started school in a two-room schoolhouse, but it wasn't really old. It was only turn of the century old.
Mm-hmm.
But there were three grades in one room and two in the other, and two teachers. That was part of the East Brunswick school system. And then after fourth grade, went to another school and another school, and that was... We didn't have a high school there, so I was with the same group of elementary school children for the whole eight grades. There wasn't much changeover,
mm-hmm.
in contrast to what about the end of my high school years, that's when East Brunswick started growing dramatically.
Sure.
Yeah. And my sister, who was 4 years older, out with me, and we lived in this little circle of houses. It was sort of a little isolated from anywhere else, unless you got in a car or a bus.
Mm-hmm.
Or a bike.
And can you tell me a little bit about your sister?
My sister was 4 years older. I was going to bring some pictures, and I will. Oh no, here they are. I saw her picture in here. Makes for a really interesting time to have nothing going on.
Oh, that's okay.
Well, oh, there's my mother. One of my pastimes is I really like to take pictures of everything and everybody. And so there are a lot of tons, like, there, pictures in my background. My sister was very outgoing. She died 4 years ago, so I only had one sister. Mm-hmm. My mother came from a family of five and my father of nine. So I had lots of cousins, but our family was small. And my mother's, I guess all the rest of the cousins all spread out across the country. They were small families compared to my parents.
Mm-hmm.
But my sister was a very significant part in our family and neighborhood. She's very outgoing. I think she had a lot of energy. It was not easy for my parents to keep up with her. I, on the other hand, was a good, quiet child. And that was my role, which I still have. And the person to mend things up and not cause a stir. But that's not true. It's just that I sound quiet.
So how was your relationship with her?
Very good. We were... we always had the same room. And she was just a whole generation different.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't any rivalry because she was in charge. I was always a little sister. Which was comfortable. Yeah, it's too bad. We all miss her a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think she took after my father's side of the family. My father and my husband's father and my two son-in-law's family, all of the fathers came from the South. Isn't that curious? Just happenstance. They all came up during the Depression, Mitch's family came up more recently when he was born. But my father and Chuck's father came up in the 30s or the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was grew up on a farm, a tobacco farm.
Oh.
Tobacco and cotton in North Carolina. And he always had a wonderful accent. And unfortunately, most of his relatives were still down there, except for one brother who lived in New Jersey also. And my mother's family came over in... Before the Civil War,
mm-hmm.
And when I was in high school, my great-great-aunt came to live with us when she was 96. So I never knew my grandmother much, but I knew my great-grandmother's sister.
Mm-hmm.
Jumped a generation there. So I get this combination of New York, New Jersey, and North Carolina.
And when you said your mother's family came over, where did they come over from?
They were from England. The only record I have is Southampton, which is kind of... That's where everybody left from.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they actually lived there a long time, I'm not sure. Grandmother's daughter, great-grandmother's... married someone from Scotland, so I'm Scotch and English. And I guess they probably came in out through Ellis Island, if Ellis Island was operating then. Yeah. I guess a large percentage of Americans' families came through New York.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm a New Yorker, I can be proud of that. Nobody comes through New Jersey, do they? In actual fact, Ellis Island's kind of almost into New Jersey.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
They're close.
And what was your mother's maiden name?
Landis, which is... Her father died when she was very young, so we didn't stay too close to her side of the family, but If you go to Pennsylvania, where the Pennsylvania Dutch are, and open a phone book, you'll find pages and pages of people named Landis. Mm-hmm. That my daughter uses, that's her middle name, and she decided to drop her first name, which was Amy. So she's known as Landis, which is, it suits her now because she's very grown up. Amy is a little girl. So, what, 1/8 is Pennsylvania Dutch. I like to think I got something from them.
And your, can you describe your father for me? What was his last name?
Underwood.
Underwood.
A lot of Underwoods around. I think there are Underwoods all over the place. But there are a lot of us that we're related to. My only claim to celebrityship is his mother was a Johnson, and her brother was Mac Johnson, who was in state senate, and their family was related to Andrew Johnson, the only president who was impeached. And not a very, not anybody you'd want to brag about.
Still neat.
But as far as I know, my grandmother's family was well thought of. A little more educated than my grandfather's family, who was the farmer of the cotton. But he was good-looking, so he made up for it. So my father always wanted to be a watchmaker, and he decided that's what he was getting away from that farm. He wanted nothing to do with living off the land, although he always farmed. He always had a garden, as do I. And he knew a lot about it, but his plan was to become a watchmaker. And so he came up north, lived with his brother, who was up here already. And he was worked as a watchmaker, ran a little store, and then during the war he worked for the government, fixing watches and teaching people to fix watches for the Army, for the Raritan Arsenal. And then he went, after the war, he kept his own business. But of course, then when watches became insignificant, they became like manufactured and you didn't need to get them fixed. He went concentrated on clock repairs, which was good thing to do. And all these people who had nice old clocks kept him in business.
And
you think of somebody not being able to do something like that nowadays, to come out of a farming community and learn a small trade. I keep thinking we need ways for people to move ahead themselves.
Yeah.
In this day and age, when so many people are out of work.
Sure.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, he came up and met my mother, who was a school teacher. Her mother was had been a teacher. One of her sisters was a teacher. And as I said, her twin sister was a nurse. So they were a more educated family. But since her father had died when she was young, that's an interesting story. He was bitten by a mad dog and got treatment for rabies and died of the treatment. It was something affected his digestive system. He would have been better off getting rabies? No, I don't think so. But as it was, well, we have to be grateful that I guess rabies treatment still is a very difficult thing to go through. I know a friend who had, but it isn't life-threatening anymore. Anyway, my grandmother raised 5 children, and that's a mystery how she did it, carefully, frugally, which is something I come by, being frugal, my children would say. I save too much. I save everything. I got that from my parents. So my mother taught after she got married, but then when she got pregnant, you couldn't teach if you had children in those days. I don't know when that became, that law or that custom stopped. I've heard of, I need to research that. I've heard of that even after the war, that if married teachers didn't have a preference, you had to be unmarried supporting a family, or a man supporting a family. So then they were left on my father's job. My sister was born, and the Depression came, and I had no knowledge of that at all. I was far too young, so thank goodness. My sister could remember my parents being worried about the Depression jobs. Then my father got a job in New Brunswick after the war. And there's a connection between New York and Philadelphia and Washington. It's the railroad. And New Brunswick is on the railroad. And that's how he got his job for a jeweler. He worked as a watch repairman for a jeweler there. And this is where Rutgers is.
Okay.
New Brunswick and Johnson & Johnson, so that was... Johnson & Johnson was the equivalent of the Clarks in New Brunswick. They were the big industry in town. And on the other side of town, the other side of the river, this is the Raritan River, was Highland Park, where my mother eventually went to back to teaching. And where we went to church, and where my husband went to school, so a little geography there between the Raritan River, which is significant. And his father commuted to New York on that railroad, and my father got watch supplies on the railroad. Thank goodness for the Pennsylvania Railroad.
And when did your mother go back to teaching?
I was in eighth grade. She was very reluctant to go back to teaching because it didn't look good for a woman to be working in those days. Isn't that crazy? But she was such a natural, and it was such a good thing for her. She was an elegant teacher, really good, good teacher. And she always taught elementary school. Was heading towards junior high about then.
And can you tell me a little bit about your relationship with your parents?
Well, as I said, I was a good girl. I had a very secure, comfortable childhood. And strangely enough, that's the kind of life I've had. It's really, I've been very blessed that things have fallen into place for me. There's no reason why they should. And if I hadn't fallen into a comfortable situation, I could never have survived on my own, in contrast to my sister, who was very capable of finding her own way in the world. My mother was, she was a very strong person in a very quiet way. Very inquisitive. She liked learning things, books, and they were very pretty social in the community, in a small community, in her church. My mother painted this. That was one of her pastimes. She sewed before she went back to work, and canned, which I don't do. Well, I can't bring myself to fuss around with canning. It's probably a good thing because if the power goes out, I've got an awful lot of frozen vegetables from my garden. That would be lost. She wouldn't need the power on. So my parents were very... they kept a lid on things. Things were not a crisis. They always voted for whoever was going to be president. They accepted things the way they were, in contrast to me or my sister. We were very radical in the sense that we always expected things should be right and proper in the government, and I've always been... Marrying into Chuck's family helps, too, because they were more politically oriented. My mother played the piano, and we always had pets at home. But we were not in the city. We were out in the suburbs, had to take the bus into town, so life was very peaceful and quiet out there. Boring, when you think of it. The elementary school I went to, East Brunswick, was just barely minimum. When I think of kids nowadays who've got art and music and phys ed in school, I think, what would I have been like? I had to teach myself an awful lot of things that children get taught in school now. Mm-hmm. And every year has been... Every year in school was an improvement. It was always more interesting to go to high school and junior high, and better in college, and I loved working. We were economically a little better off than our neighbors who were more, the kids I went to school with, not our actual neighbors. They were more newer immigrants, and since my mother's family had been here for a couple of generations, I was more acclimated. It's always felt a little like I had an advantage, which was not so much true in New Brunswick, but New Brunswick's a working class town. So I had no idea that I had a real problem until I was quite grown up and had children already. And my problem is I've got a terrible memory. And now all my peer group is losing their memory, so it's no big deal. But I had no idea that I had this problem. It's like you're so aware of children with handicaps nowadays, with autism and Asperger's and learning and hearing. We didn't, those kinds of children were never talked about. They all were in separate schools. And nobody ever questioned the fact. I didn't have a reading disability. I was awfully interested in reading, but as it turned out, I had no capacity to remember what I'd learned. And it's made a lot of difference, and it keeps me from talking quickly in a social situation, so I have to think about it. It's going to be on the recorder. That's our good old steamy. that's another story. So I was always looking and thinking, trying to figure out the world as I was growing up. And my mother had it, and my father too. They were very interested in biological things, science, natural history. They were both very good at that. And when they come to visit, they would say, "Oh, look at that tree and that bird," or whatever. And since my father was a gardener, so I always thought I wanted to be interested in the sciences until I gave up the idea of being an airline hostess. I thought, despite the fact I had no idea, I'd never been on a plane, but I thought that would be a nice job. I also thought, since I wasn't very good musically, I could be a conductor. So, I went through school with a great deal of interest and curiosity and concentration and loving it.
Mm-hmm.
And assuming that I would get some benefits from my education. But I did, but not what I expected. Well, the benefits are my own private thing, but not academic, not for as far as jobs go. Because, as it turns out, I couldn't remember what I had just done in the laboratory. I had decided that I wanted to study biology, and when I went to college, I got into microbiology.
Sorry, I'm just turning it up a little. Let's see if it's a lot better. Okay, sorry, continue.
And my sister wanted to be a teacher, elementary school teacher. I thought, well, that's really not very forward-looking. She's really not extending herself as far as possible. But she was. She was a good teacher. Mm-hmm. And I was interested in esoteric academic things. And she used to. Part of the other thing was that one of our neighbors growing up that I was close to in school had gotten out of Austria before the Nazis took over, just barely.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a professor at the college at Rutgers. So I was very close to them and had this world view of what was going on. A broader view maybe than some kids who weren't exposed to international situations. Of course, everybody growing up had relatives in World War II, but my friend's family were all cut off. They were all in Austria, and they couldn't contact them during the war all those 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
They lived down the street and had very comfortable life, job. But all those years, they had no idea what had become of their mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers. And I happened to be in their living room when my friend's mother got a letter saying that her family was alive. I can remember the tears coming down her face, which surprised me at the time. Mm-hmm. Tears of joy. So that thinking, growing up at that time, I think we thought that we had solved the world's problems by winning the war. And the economy was working well, and people got their houses rebuilt that had lain empty and unfinished all those years. And during high school, I think it was one of the more peaceful times in our American history. Except unless you are a black person or even an Asian, because they were stigmatized too. But for the rest of us, it was a very peaceful time in the country. And it wasn't until the 60s when I realized that things were not as settled, and by then I had been married and slowly began to think, well, things should be right, because we had gone through the war. Things had been put into place. They were all back together.
Mm-hmm.
Things were where they should be. And that's always been my point of view, that things, there should be a best way. We should know it, and we're responsible for doing it. So I'm jumping ahead. I studied microbiology in Syracuse University.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there could have gone to New Brunswick, which was within walking distance almost to Rutgers, and the girls come.